When he had entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy and is grievously tormented. And Jesus saith to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion making answer said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. Jesus, hearing this, marveled, said to them that followed him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great faith in Israel. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. The centurion stood before him, breathless and waiting. His incessant plea so filled with confidence, his approach so sure, that it must have filled the surrounding Jews with a certain fear. Then Christ, the Son of Man, Son of David, the Son of the living God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Son, looked upon the centurion, hearing his pleas, and marveled. How could Christ, how could our very God marvel? That is, how could he be filled with wonder? St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that wonder springs forth from our lack of knowledge about the deep causes of the things that we see. Wonder springs forth when we are surpassed by something greater than ourselves. We struggle with the beauty filling our senses. Think of the first time you saw a mountain range, the immensity of the ocean, a clear sunset and its golden rays lapping rolling hills. A chord is struck in our hearts, whispering to our intelligence, there is something great here that you know not yet. A mind, a heart, a person crafting these vistas, and that divine person is speaking to you. Father Francis Bethel of the Abbey of Clear Creek, in whom we had the immense pleasure to welcome here at St. Joseph's Shrine for a solemn mass and conference, speaks of the importance of wonder in the complete education of the human person. John Senior, his own teacher, had identified the lack of wonder in our Western education as a great harm, and he himself sought to remedy it. It is only by, quote, delighting in reality, says Father Bethel, only by wondering at its mysteries, with a healthy imagination, a memory full of stories, songs, poems, experiences, that one would be ready for life. In wonder, we see the works of our God and how they completely surpass us. We glimpse his immense love for us in them, his delicate care. Even our Savior had said, Behold the birds of the air. We are surrounded constantly by the signs of a God who is all-powerful and all-loving, and that a natural reaction of a good heart is to wonder. Yet the sacred text today tells us that the heart of God the Son, the heart of God himself, is also filled with wonder. What marvel itself for us to contemplate. He who formed the stars with his own hands, whose name every knee should bow, feels his human heart filled with emotion like our own at the sight of something great. Surely, as St. Thomas Aquinas also says in his commentary, the wonder of Christ is not like our wonder. Christ is God, and therefore all-knowing. His is not a wonder that does not grasp the deep reasons behind what he perceives. But it is like our marvel, a joy and awe at something great. St. Matthew is telling us that the heart of God is eager to hear the prayer of the centurion to bring health, relief, and salvation to his house for one reason. Our God and Savior marvels at the faith of the centurion. It is so great that Christ says he has not found such a faith in all of Israel. St. Thomas explains that surely the centurion's faith is not greater than the patriarch's, than that of our Blessed Mother, but it surpasses those of his contemporaries. It even surpasses the faith of Christ's disciples, because the disciples had been prepared by signs and testimonies lacking to the pagan centurion. His faith is immediate. His faith is confident. His faith moves the heart of our God. Blessed Kalama Marmion says, God seems unable to refuse anything to a heart with such faith. And so Jesus says to the centurion, Go, And as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And the servant was healed at that same hour, St. Matthew tells us. What is this faith, we might rightly ask? What disposition could be so great and powerful to move the heart of our God and make him work such marvels in the scenes we read in page after page of the Holy Gospel? Faith in general is an act of the intellect based on the word of another. I believe something as fact based on the authority of the one who tells it to me. With the divine act of faith of our religion, it is an assent moved by grace to believe the revealed word of God. This act of faith may be summed up, as Don Marmion does, in one simple truth, that Jesus Christ is God's own Son, sent for our salvation, given for our sanctification. Only three times is the voice of the Father heard in sacred scripture, and each time it is to proclaim this simple truth: This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. St. John shows us himself, Jesus himself, saying that whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Note, he does not say will have eternal life, but has it already. God lives in him in an initial way by faith. Let us consider then why this faith is so capital, so essential, and how we can live it practically following the centurion's example. Our blessed Savior says once again in St. John's Gospel, "The Father loveth the Son, that all men may honor the Son, as they honor the Father. He who honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father. Amen, amen, I say unto you, that he who heareth my word, believeth him that sent me, hath life everlasting, and cometh not into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Amen, amen, I say unto you, that the hour cometh and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Christ is the eternal Word, the perfect image of God the Father, as Jesus explained almost plaintively to Philip. Philip had said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus saith to him, "Have I been so long a time with you? Have you not known me? Philip, he that seeth me seeth the Father also. How sayest thou, show us the Father?" God the Father wants us to honor the Son. We honor him by believing the testimony of God the Father when he says to us that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When he shows to us Jesus' works and says, "This is the Savior I prophesied to you. This is the salvation I have sent to you." Do we truly believe it? Our holy religion, Blessed Marmion says, is merely accepting, truly accepting this truth in all of its implications for every aspect of our lives. We might say that it is extending the reign of Christ the King to every domain. He must reign over our intellect, yes, by our humble submission to the truth revealed to us by the Magisterium of Holy Mother Church. He must reign over our will and hearts by our striving after virtue and our combat against vice. But we must ask ourselves, each of us this morning, whether there is not some corner of our lives where we have yet to believe that Christ is truly God, truly sent by the Father for our salvation. What anxieties, fears, and resentments cloud my heart, for these cannot coexist with a true, all-embracing faith in the person of Jesus Christ. Today is also the commemoration of the conversion of the great St. Paul. And that faithful apostle reminds St. Timothy, whose feast was yesterday, that, quote, "God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of sobriety." To worry and fear, to bear resentments, to complain about the cross that Christ presents to us in each moment, is to say to the Father, "I do not believe that you truly love me. I do not believe that you have sent your Son to save me. I do not believe that his blood can heal all wounds and right all wrongs. I do not believe that he can strengthen me to pick up my cross and follow him." These worries and resentments dishonor the Son and therefore dishonor the Father. Jesus says to the father of the possessed boy in the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, "If you canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." So many times in the Holy Gospel, Jesus prepares a miracle with similar words. But every moment of our lives, Christ likewise asks for our faith as we strive for Christian virtue, as we face great tragedy and adversity, haunted by our memories, plagued by future cares. He asks us in the quiet of our hearts, "Do you believe that I am God, that the Father sent me for you, to save you, to die for you? Do you believe that I love you, have the power to make of you a great saint? Do you believe my blood is stronger than your sins? Do you believe?" All things are possible to him that believeth. And we can believe without doubting because the Father bears witness to him, because he himself has conquered death and sin in his glorious resurrection. We too have the power to spark wonder in the heart of our God by our complete and total abandonment to his loving mercy and providence. If I truly believe that Christ is God, if I extend that belief to every aspect of my life, I have nothing to fear. Let us delight his Sacred Heart, therefore, with a total surrender to that heart, crying out with the father of the possessed boy in the Gospel, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.